We were in Portugal for a short trip, and something very interesting happened on the last day. It was the 1st of January, and our host suggested we visit a very holy place called Fatima. It is a place which is revered by the people in Europe, where an apparition of the Virgin Mary had come to three or four children. So in that space, they have built a huge ground and a cathedral at one end and a modern church at the other end. And many people go there for healing, for prayers and for their loved ones. And they light candles in a corner of the ground. Now the cathedral there is closed throughout the year, except for a day or two, must be some special days. So it was closed. So we were a bit disappointed that we came there and the cathedral was closed, so we had to go back. But it was beautiful to be in that space. And when we reached there, our host suggested if we'd like to see the church, which was at the other end, and for some reason, the feeling didn't arise in the group to go and see that, but the focus was more on the, you know, watching the people's reverence and this very beautiful cathedral structure at the other end where the door was closed. Now it so happened that there was some chanting which had begun, and from the church door which was behind us, the door opened and people started streaming out in a procession, maybe 200-300 people going towards the cathedral. So it was wonderful to watch that. And at that time, we felt, let's go into the church now that all the people have also come out. So we went into the church. As we walked in, a sermon began by some priests in Portuguese, and they closed the door, the main door behind us, so we were stuck, so to speak, there, which I didn't mind because it's always nice to be in a space like that. But then after about 10 minutes, our hosts themselves were feeling like getting up and leaving. So they asked me in a whisper, can we leave? And he said, of course we can leave. By then 15 minutes had passed. So we walked out through the side door, left, and we were about to leave the complex when I saw in the distance that the cathedral door had opened. And people had started going. So the host was quite surprised. She said, this does not happen normally. This door is always closed. And so I said, now let's go in. I mean, what a beautiful opportunity. And we went in. And on the way out, I mentioned that whenever you get stuck in life, you are meant to get stuck. That is the acceptance of the teaching. Because if that had not happened, we would not have waited for the cathedral door to open. But can we live with this understanding throughout our life? When you are in a place you don't like, you are meant to be there. When you feel life is not being fair to you, it is meant to be that. We find it very hard to accept that. This we will accept, wow, I was there, I got stuck, and something good happened after that. That's how we view life. But the truth is that wherever you are, anytime, any place, it could not be any other way. And we judge the space we are at when we get stuck. This is not good. It should not be like that. I should not be made to suffer. The me comes in. And what was just simple suffering becomes complex suffering. As my guru would say, what is simple imprisonment, which is life, we make rigorous imprisonment by the way we think. Maharaj would say, why do people go to spiritual masters? He said, because when you are stuck in prison, you must obey the people outside who are working very hard for your release. Instead of doubting their intentions. Accepting that life means being stuck in certain situations, which you may not like, brings peace of mind. I received an email last month where someone said, I've had such a rough life since childhood. In my marriage, after my marriage broke up, etc., 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 that finally I decided to surrender. Where is the question of you deciding to surrender? Life has spanked you and slapped you around and taught you that things are not in your control. Surrender happens. You start accepting things are not in your control. Where is the question of I surrender? To say I surrender means you have not surrendered, because it is the me which says I surrender. The ego has come in through the back door, that even I can control surrender. Surrender is a natural process of life. When you see enough happen in your life, pleasures and pains, that you naturally are surrendered to what life brings next. It is a state of witnessing. To say I surrender is to cause yourself more pain. if you know that you can never know what the next moment in life brings, that is being surrendered to life. When you know from your own experience, there are no guarantees of circumstances, of people, of situations, that is being surrendered to life, to the flow of life. There was a very lovely man we met on our trip. He's a yoga teacher. And at the end of the talk, which was for his students, he said that some students and people look up to him as a kind of a guru or as a kind of a guide. So his question was, what should I do now that they look up to me like that? And I said that they are looking up to you because of the way you are, not because of the way you are doing. So where's the question of wanting to do something since they are looking up to you? Be as you are. People didn't go to Ramana Maharshi because he was doing something. He was just sitting on his couch in silence. But the power of their presence was so strong that they got drawn to him. Nisargadatta Maharaj was an uneducated panbidi wala sitting in an attic in Khetwadi when there was no internet, no Google Maps, no Airbnb, but the world came to his doorstep. Not because he was doing anything. He was simply sharing his life's experience. It's an addiction to doing. I think Maharaj had said in I Am that when you fall asleep, you don't say, I give up my bed. You simply forget the bed. But we are so habituated to doing that, we'll say even that I forgot my bed in deep sleep. I forgot. You might feel cold on the floor, take the cushion otherwise.
No, I want it up.
Roshan, just leave. There's a seat here. Nimish? Pleasant surprise to see you. Visiting Bombay. I received two emails in the last 10 days on what do I do to meditate. In fact, I spoke about it in one of the talks in Portugal simply on meditation. Because meditation is not a practice, it is a way of living. My teacher had a very beautiful summary of meditation in one sentence. He said, "True meditation is the witnessing of whatever arises as movements in consciousness." Whatever arises. There is no doing in that. Sitting for half an hour and witnessing the thoughts arising without judging them, labeling them, saying they shouldn't be there is meditation. And someone said at the end of their half an hour meditation practice, she said, "I just couldn't meditate." So I said, "Why?" She said, "Because there were so many thoughts in meditation." And I said, "Then you had an excellent meditation." So she was really surprised. She said, "What do you mean by that?" I said, "Because you knew you had many thoughts in meditation." Who knew that? Most of us are so lost in thinking that even that thought doesn't come, that I had so many thoughts. That is the dream we are living in. Lost in the dream of thinking. Ramesh would say thoughts are like watching traffic go by on the street. You just see it go. You don't try to stop it. Maharaj said that when you are looking at a crowded station and the people coming out, do you fight with each and every person or do you find your way through the crowd? Similarly with thoughts, find your way through the thoughts. That is meditation. Understanding that everyone is the way, precisely the way God has made them, based on their conditioning, based on their genetics, that is meditation. Understanding that for anything to happen in your life, good or bad, there are so many factors which are beyond your control that there's no point in analyzing it through. That is meditation. Understanding that life is duality, black and white, up and down, rich and poor, good and bad, pleasure and pain. That is the design of life. Understanding that is meditation. knowing that success in life is not your success, because it happened because of too many factors in, which were not in your control, that is meditation. Knowing that no failure is your failure because there were too many factors which contributed to your failure, that is meditation. There is no point of a practice of meditation if your daily living is not peaceful and harmonious. Is there any point in having 1 hour of meditation practice and the rest of the day there is turmoil and conflict? In I Am That, Maharaj has said that self-realization is more in the nature of an understanding which brings great peace. Understanding the dynamic of life. Ramesh would say, seeing is the only doing necessary. Quite simple. Seeing that whatever happens in life is actually not apart from you. If you just removed your body from the equation, the screen of consciousness would be the same in which everything arises. So all thoughts about others, for example, are arising in your own consciousness. Hatred, malice, jealousy, envy are arising in your own consciousness. It's got nothing to do with the other. If you were dead, they would not arise. If you were in deep sleep, they would not arise. So are they really outside you or are they within your own consciousness? understanding that is meditation. So this teaching brings one to the meditative state because one is no longer involved in thoughts in the duration of time. This person did this to me, so I will do this to him, and therefore this should happen, that should happen, etc., etc. That starts dissolving. The thinking mind, which thrives on an imaginary future and a dead past, starts dissolving without any doing. The obsession with me, that starts dissolving. That is meditation. Me and my story. This happened to me, that happened to me. That starts changing to this happened and that happened. Why did it happen? Who cares? It happened. There was a lady who asked a question at the end of a talk in Portugal who said, she was a bit elderly, she said, for the first time I'm hearing this. Her husband had passed away at a ripe old age. And she said, I was holding on so much against him, but now that you are saying that, you know, his thoughts and what he said was based on his conditioning, how his parents treated him, his circumstances, his environments, etc., etc., etc. It is such a new perspective for me to look at what happened in our marriage and in our relationship from that point of view. She said, it's bringing me so much relief. And then she added, but what about him? So I said, what about him? She said, even he should feel that I was not the one doing this and I was not. I said, but he's dead. See? He should also feel. Amazing. The Maya is amazing. Be concerned with your peace of mind. We are too concerned with other people's peace of mind, other people's spiritual journey, what they do, what they should do, what they shouldn't do. You should be like this, you should not be so angry, you should be more kind, you should be more generous, you should speak sweetly. One object in manifestation telling another object in manifestation what they should do. Two objects in a painting painted by God telling each other, be like this, do this, listen to me. I mean well for you, I have your best interests at heart, I. I don't know if I mentioned this in the last talk, but you know Nisargadatta Maharaj used to speak in Marathi, so there's a YouTube video where he's speaking and there are subtitles, it's a short video. Now, whoever did the translation did a very nice gentle job of the translation, you know, that Maharaj is telling the person that I'm telling you abide in your beingness, that is your natural state, etc., etc. Then I saw the comments below the video. So someone who's obviously Maharashtrian and who knows the teaching quite well, he said, ha ha ha, the translation was brilliant, but he didn't translate the last 3 seconds, which were dot dot dot, or go and fall into a ditch if you don't want to listen to me. That was Maharaj. That was Maharaj. Not just roses and flowers. Ramesh would not say go and fall into a ditch, but he would say that what I have said may transform your conditioning because it's something new that you have heard. Whether it does or not depends on your destiny, and I am not concerned. But there is a possibility that when you come to the teaching, that window is open. Yesterday I got a mail saying, what can I do to be as calm as you are in your videos? I said, that you'll have to ask God, I don't know what he did to me. And living this way, the mind starts quietening down. The cartwheels of the mind start slowing down. That is called living in the moment. The preference becomes of quietness, silence, because the mind is getting still. We got a mail saying that for the first 5 minutes, all your videos seem stuck because you're not speaking. This is speaking only. Doesn't have to be words coming out. Consciousness, being with consciousness, is not necessary to have words which have meanings which can be misinterpreted. Not speaking when being with people is being in the presence of presence without words. It's not a bad thing. It's your first time here?
Yes.
Where are you from?
Pune.
Okay. What brings you here?
I somehow got hold of books of generation 20 years back.
20 years back, you must have been in the cradle, yeah?
96, I was in Mumbai, I was studying.
Uh-huh.
So, and somehow, I was really lonely actually. So, then actually, I could not understand what I was there. Actually, I started reading. And then, finally, I saw Ramesh Bhatt's classical. And I still read Project 3 also. So, somehow, I feel those gaps to some extent. Much will happen is in mechanical life versus, as you said, just be with the presence. That's all this I can speak.
Of course.
Before this, before today, when I was being alone, I used to miss something. In, now when you say, be with the presence. I have to do my mechanical stuff all of a sudden.
That is life. That is life. But the presence will not leave you when you are doing the mechanical stuff. The presence is always there. It doesn't have to be an end to the mechanical stuff for the presence to be. Is to do the end of the thinking mind. Now, when a surgeon is operating on a patient, the presence is there and the surgery is happening. But supposing the surgeon has been told that, you know, your patient is a very important politician, and if something goes wrong with the operation, your career could be in trouble. And so while doing the surgery, if he starts thinking about what would happen if something goes wrong, what will be his future, what etc., 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 that is the thinking mind based on doership, which takes one away from the presence which is there already. The absence of the me with its sense of doership is the presence of presence. Which is the flow of life. So there is no destination to reach. There is no goal to reach on this spiritual journey. That is why Maharaj would say the road is the goal. That is why Krishnamurti would say, I don't mind what happens. He was referring to the thinking mind. That becomes an offering to the source. Your working life becomes an offering to the divine. Mechanical life becomes an offering to the living. Yes, Nipesh.
Even that witnessing the thought is an involvement of I, or just happens, the witnessing happens?
Witnessing happens.
That is, that witnessing doesn't require any thought or any object to witness anything.
Witnessing requires an object to witness.
So there is there an involvement of I am witnessing?
No. Witnessing happens. I am witnessing is the involvement. Because the I has stepped in to claim the witnessing. Witnessing happens.
Any body sensations, emotions, feelings or thoughts that arise, of course, now, unless that I arises, how it would be witnessed? When you say that there is a droplet of water on the lens, so the witnessing happens definitely from the mind. Or the tank has got weight, or something has happened.
Right.
So that witnessing is actually, it is witnessing with I?
Witnessing can only happen when there is something to witness.
Because there has to be an object to witness.
Exactly.
When there is no object, there is no witnessing.
Then you would be in samadhi.
So that's a pure state of awareness.
Yes. So in the waking state, witnessing is witnessing what happens.
So that witnessing is actually an element through which the object is known.
Yes.
And when there are no objects,
yes,
even the thought is an object. So if there are no thoughts, that one is in samadhi.
Yes, because that is non-witnessing, because there is nothing to witness.
And that becomes very impersonal.
Yes. So supposing there was nothing to witness here, and you just closed your eyes, and there was nothing to witness anymore, you would slip into non-witnessing.
In the waking state, when the witnessing happens of the thoughts, feelings, emotions, whatever arises.
Yes.
Only the very purpose of witnessing deludes the mind and makes one stand in its own self.
There is no purpose of witnessing. It is the me which wants to find the purpose. Witnessing is a happening.
It's happening, it's going on.
Yes. Witnessing is going on, exactly.
It is also witnessing the I that
yes.
arises again and goes down.
Yes, so not labeling the thoughts, emotions and feelings, or not saying that these are my thoughts, emotions and feelings, but witnessing thoughts, emotions and feelings arise in this body as if they would have arisen in that body is pure witnessing. Witnessing them arise in this body which happens to be mine. Because then, no, I should not feel this, I should not think that will arise. Where is the question?
State in which the breath is completely relaxed.
Yes. And you will find that your waking state has this relaxed breath. When one is living with the understanding, the breath becomes softer, gentler, smoother, the flow. Also because all the energy, the pran shakti, is not consumed by the doing and the thinking. That is freedom. So that is what leads to a calmer disposition as well. How much of our pran and our breath and our life force is wasted away in thinking, in speaking, in doing, that energy is conserved. That is why at these talks, which were in yoga studios, when yoga students, their teachers wanted them to know more about yoga in life, in daily living, not just an asana. What is the breath? The in-breath and the out-breath, the left and right, the positive current, the negative current, the idha, the pingla. This is the basic structure of duality. The breath should flow through the sushumna, through the central channel. What is that? That is a life of equanimity. A life of equanimity will lead to a balanced breath. Not just going and then your whole day is a mess where you're fighting with people. I breathe because God gave me a big nose. So I enjoy that. But what is what is it? One has to look beyond one's practice. Because God has given us our lives as the practice ground. Not just that vana of practice. A harmonious relationship with your family, your friends, your colleagues at work, people you don't like. Knowing that they are not the doers, they are made the way God made them. Just like the way God made you. You still may not like them. You may have a preference for someone else's company. There is an acceptance of people for who they are. That is yoga. After all, yoga means to join. And with this understanding, what is it? When you understand that the same consciousness flows through everyone, just like electricity in a kitchen flows through all the gadgets, it's the same electricity. When you start living life that way, that is yoga. That means to join. These are the opportunities gifted to you by the source, your relationships, in which to practice yoga. Someone sent me a message saying there are two kinds of people in the world, those who are wise and those who are otherwise. And I said, yes, but both were made by God. Isn't it fantastic to have this kind of vision that is not seen through the eyes of duality? Start seeing things that way. So simple. It is very simple. Osho used to quote Oscar Wilde and say, I'm a simple man, I simply like the best. And I can never tire of saying what Ramesh would say when he was asked to sum up his teaching in one sentence. He would say, my message is, love each and every one as if you created them. As if you were their creator. Because consciousness cannot hate itself. Yes, Vanuja?
So witnessing is the capital I am or consciousness?
Yeah. Yes, Roshni? Today you are sitting in front, otherwise normally you are tucked away at the back. Like a backbencher. In our college, the backbenchers were the naughtiest ones.
That's what you used to say.
We had in our school, I think Ananda mentioned this one time, right, in the talk. There was a friend of ours who was, it was a Shakespeare class. And you know, our books of Shakespeare were very small. So what he had done was, we used to, when we were young, have these commando comics. You know, they were like black and white illustrated comics of the Second World War stories and all. So he had put his commando comic in front of the Shakespeare and he was pretending to read Shakespeare. And he was reading the commando comic. Now the teacher had started to walk up and down and this boy was so engrossed that he didn't realize that the teacher was close by. So the teacher saw that and he screamed and he picked up the commando comic from what I recall and threw it right across the room into the dustbin at the other end. And this boy was so shocked. And then he said, sir, you shouldn't have done that. And we froze, you know. So the teacher also looked at him and he said, what do you mean? He said, because I have to return it to the library. I thought that was amazing. That is called being in the moment. We used to get these same commando comics from the library. There was a library nearby called Book Nook. And I remember one which really touched me. I must have been very young, I think, 14, 15. And it's a story about like a German officer and an English officer and a third French officer and there's this whole thing going on, this fighting. And at the end, out of the three main characters, two are dead and one is left. And the last page of the comic had this last lone figure walking away and there's the speech blurb on the top when he says, because he was the victor in this whole battle of the three. And he said, the paths of glory lead but to the grave. And that sentence I have never forgotten. In Latin they have, I think in the church, the sic transit gloria mundi, the glory of the world too shall pass. This too shall pass. Your pleasures shall pass, your pains shall pass, and you shall pass. That is life. Everything comes and goes. That is why Ramana Maharshi said, let what comes come, and let what goes go, but you remain. That is witnessing. Because that is the story of your life. You have been witnessing whatever has been going on in your life since you were born. Did you do that witnessing? What is your name?
Rajneesh.
Rajneesh. How are things in Delhi, Nimish?
Cold.
Cold, huh? Must be very cold. This is our winter. Anyone would like to share anything? Everyone is witnessing.